Brothers and sisters, in the last session, we reflected on the meaning behind God's use of the wild donkey and the wild ox as illustrations. Why did God speak to Job using these animals as examples? It's because we, as human beings, have been created in the image of God, unlike beasts. We are meant to live as the Lord of all creation, but when we fail to do so, we can no longer be called children of God. The Bible says, I said to myself, regarding the sons of mankind, God is testing them in order for them to see that they are as animals, they to themselves. Those who have lost the image of God are no different from beasts from God's perspective. Moreover, in these days when sin is rampant, there are many who commit evil, even worse than that, even worse than that of animals. Then how can we escape a life no different from that of a beast and recover the whole duty of man? As it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the way is to fear God and keep His commandments. Today, we will look at the illustrations of ostrich and the horse. Through these illustrations, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will clearly discern what our Father God is speaking to us, understand it well, and faithfully fulfill your true calling as His children. As God described the nature of the ostrich, He asked Job the following question. The wings of the ostrich flap joyously with the pinion and plumage of love. He was not complimenting the ostrich, but mentioning its limitations. The ostrich flaps its wings, but because they are small compared to its large body, it cannot fly. Its feathers may not be as colorful as those of a peacock or a parrot, but they are soft, full, large, and graceful, possessing a unique kind of beauty. While the ostrich may take pride in its feathers, they are of no benefit to other animals. Also, the ostrich is tall and has a long neck, which allows it to look around and see over many other animals, yet this ability does not provide any special help to them. As Job listened to God's words about the ostrich, he understood what God meant to say. Namely, just as the ostrich boasts of its feathers, though they serve little real purpose, Job came to realize that outward appearance alone holds no true value. God has seen all the moments when Job argued based on his own knowledge and experience while debating with his friends. Possessing knowledge, refinement, honor, authority, and wealth, Job associated with others and won their respect. But when trials came, he lacked virtues and love to overcome them. That was Job's limitation. Like the saying, a pretty shell with nothing inside, Job's life looked good on the outside, but in reality, it lacked true substance. And comparing himself to ostrich, Job was having an awakening. You know, you're listening to this explanation, detailed explanation, but if you don't apply it yourself, it's no use. You may also have such a Christian life that has no substance inside. Some people have lived long as Christian, and they have many duties, and they have won their respect and recognition in the church, and they have shared the testimonies and gave glory to God. And they have borne fruit, and they have borne beautiful flowers. They look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, when actually they face trials, how did they react? Did they rejoice? Did they give thanks, as God tells us to give thanks always? That's the true essence of our Christian life. It should be faith, it should be the word, it should be the truth. If we have those things inside, we shouldn't just look on beautiful on the outside. In reality, when we get attacked, when we face trials, if we have no gratitude, but if we end up with a complaint, we are like a pretty shell with nothing inside. As we look inside of ourselves, it's empty. Through the example of ostrich, God was giving Job awakening. What about our Christian life? Even though we have duties, and even though we have a long-lived Christian life, what about us? We have to examine ourselves. When we are filled with the Spirit, we may teach others. We may give lessons to others. But if we face trials and tests, have we reacted as we have taught others? But if we have failed to do so, we are like a pretty shell with nothing inside, and we give no benefit to others. We don't give... like the feathers of the ostrich, on the outside, Job held a high and honorable position, enjoyed many blessings, and taught many people. Even nobles longed to hear his words. And God was giving... He comforted those in distress with wise counsel and gave strength and courage to the weak. When he was in peace, he did so. However, when Job himself faced trials and tribulations, he fell into deep despair, cursed the day of his birth, resented his parents, and even blamed the heavens, the stars, the moon, and the light. He went so far as to despise and curse his friends. In the end, Job came to realize that although his life had appeared glorious on the outside, like the feathers of the ostrich, it lacked true substance within. What God desired from Job was not merely wisdom or power, but love and virtue. Of course, Job had greater virtue and love than ordinary people, yet in the face of trials and tribulations, his limitations were revealed. When we look at the founders of faith who were approved by God, we see that no matter what trials and hardships they face, they never lost their love and trust in Him. When God asked Abraham to offer his only son Isaac, Abraham did not complain. He didn't say, "God, how could you ask me to sacrifice the son you gave me as the seed of the promise?" He didn't complain. Instead, he fully believed in God's goodness and in His power to raise even the dead. That's why he simply said yes and joyfully obeyed. Moses, too, never refused any hardship for God and for His people. For over 40 years, he dedicated himself to leading the Israelites toward the land of Canaan. Even though he knew he would not enter that land himself, he never grumbled or complained before God at all. And the Apostle Paul, though he was in prison for preaching the gospel, was beaten. I mean, Moses, he accepted it as God's will, and he trusted that Joshua would fulfill that promise, and until the very end, Moses taught, gave his words, and tried to... Moses didn't complain. Why didn't you keep the promise? He never complained to God. He just accepted God's will and said amen. And he just... And the Apostle Paul, though he was in prison for preaching the gospel, was beaten countless times and endured great suffering, he never resented God. He stayed faithful and preached the gospel as a servant to the Gentiles. When the time came, he fully dedicated himself to the Lord. God also wanted such perfection from Job. When trials came, Job initially gave thanks. But when things When things surpassed a certain limit, he began complaining. This was the reason God refined Job. This was this is not perfect faith. We have to examine this, what our limits are. But what about our fathers of faith? They went beyond the limit. They, according to our measure of faith, our limits would go higher and higher, and we can endure more things. But when things surpass a certain limit, we may explode or go off. Then this is not perfect. That's why God refined Job. What if Job had continued to give thanks even when he was suffering with sore boils, just as he didn't blame God when he lost his children and possessions? And when his friends came to comfort him and said, God has stricken you because of your sin, what if Job had responded with love and virtue, saying, you are right. Perhaps there is something wrong in me. Maybe I have sinned unknowingly. I should pray to God and gain awakening. Clearly, I am to blame for all this. If Job had shown such reverence for God and treated his friends with love and virtue, he wouldn't have argued with them. Rather, he would have been grateful that they gave him comfort, fasted, and stood by him. If Job had possessed such a heart, such trials wouldn't have even come upon him in the first place. But Job looked only at the position, wealth, and authority he had accumulated and was completely unaware of what was to come. Job was so focused on the things he had achieved that he had no room to truly examine himself. There are many Christians who are like that. In the trials, they may wonder, why am I facing such a trouble? Many people say that human beings, they are inclined to protect themselves. They consider their sacrifice to be so big. Even though God knows our sacrifice, but God wants to make us perfect. So He wants us to throw away even trivial errors or trivial mistakes. But actually, they are not small. If we consider them as nothing, if we don't take them seriously, we cannot go to a better dwelling place. Even when we discover small things, we have to feel so embarrassed. Let's say I have this clothes. I have also white dress. Let's say there's some stain. I get some stain on my dress. Would I continue to wear it? Because this is white. What if I wear a black dress? Even when I get a stain, it is not visible. So I can go home and wash it. But when I have a clean white dress, even when I get a small dot or small stain, it becomes visible. This is the mindset God wants us to have. We may think, this is trivial, this is nothing, this, I'm better than others. Some people have those standards, but those people don't want to circumcise their hearts anymore. The standards should lie in the Word of God, should lie in the goodness and love of God. It shouldn't be others. No comparison with others. We may think of something to be very small because we love ourselves. We think about our faithfulness. We think about our sacrifice, but we may think about our mistakes as small, and we don't joyfully accept the trials facing us. Rather, we wonder why such a hardship face us, and we complain against God. We don't humbly admit ourselves, so we are slow to change ourselves. This is the evidence of our loving ourselves. This is stupidity. People who don't people who don't look back on themselves, they cannot Job was so focused on the things he had achieved that he had no room to truly examine himself. Job and his friends, Job also reflected on his life. As he looked back, reflected on his life, he tried to, but he thought about his merits. He tried to boast of his merits. Of course, what he said was some of them were true, because he helped out the poor, he helped out the needy, and he helped out the people who lacked wisdom and knowledge. Actually, he was, but as things surpassed the limit, he couldn't overcome them, and he was unable to advance any further. But what about the people of faith? Even when they face their limits, each person has their limits of their vessel, has their size of their vessel. As we go deeper and deeper into spirit, we have our limits go higher and higher, and our vessels go broader and broader. And with say you, as you go into spirit and whole spirit, let's say you can embrace more, you can embrace more than you did before. Like, even though we have achieved this much, God still may allow us a test to break even that limit. Our fathers of faith, when they faced their limits, even though they knew there were their limits, they didn't say, "I couldn't do that. This is impossible. Why are you giving me such a trial?" They didn't complain that way. Once they faced their limits, they resolved to overcome them, go beyond that. This is true faith, and they were true men of God. But what about Job? When things go more intense, at first he gave thanks, but as he faced their boundary or limits, he didn't overcome them, so his trials were prolonged. I mean, from God's perspective, Job's heart was very good and of high quality, but his small vessel couldn't hold anything greater. So, to break those limits and make Job into a large vessel, God was refining him. Once Job understood God's intention, he would be so thankful to him for awakening him from such foolishness. You should also feel such change. Like, I used to have small vessel. When someone gave me a hard time, I wanted to go and argue with him, and I also felt distressed and stressed out, but I didn't stop, and I asked God, and I confessed, "Father God, forgive me, and please let me have a broad vessel," and I made efforts. And then you overcome those limits and you begin to give thanks and rejoice and you broaden your vessel. And then even when the same situation comes up, you don't feel distressed and get stressed out. And you, as you look back on yourself, and you realize that, and after all, you can give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for giving you trials. Without the trials, you wouldn't have embraced others. You wouldn't have, because I faced trials, you became able to embrace and understand others. You come to this realization. You may also realize your limits and you have to break them. That way you can improve yourself and recover the lost image of God. Chapter 39, verses 14 and 15 read, "For she abandons her eggs to the earth and worms them in the dust, and she forgets that a foot may crush them or that a wild animal may trample them." Ostriches live in a dry region such as grasslands, wastelands, and deserts. They dig shallow nests in the sand and lay their eggs there. During the day, the heat of the sun helps warm the eggs, and at night, the male ostrich sits on them to help with the hatching process. However, because the ostrich's nest is exposed on the ground, its eggs are vulnerable. They can be crushed under the feet of people or wild animals or become prey to predators. And yet, God said that the ostrich does not consider such dangers. This was meant to reveal the foolishness of Job. He only knew what he could do, but had no understanding of what lay beyond. Because Job was wise and discerning and deeply loved God, when he heard these words, he painfully realized his foolishness. He admitted, I've been just like the ostrich. Because Job still has such shortcomings, Satan did not withdraw even after Job had possessed the test of losing all his possessions and children. Instead, Satan accused him and said to God, "However, reach out with your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face." Only after experiencing a trial that threatened his very life, Job came to understand what kind of vessel he was. How grateful Job must have been when God helped him realize that he had been like the ostrich, bearing the eggs, but unaware of what would come next. You should also have, did you have such gratitude as well? You may think, Father, I thought I was doing a good job, but as someone gave me, bothered me, as people made up lies, I lost the fullness, I lost the passion, I lost the foolishness. And I also put the blame on others because of that person. I lost the strength to pray. But my members don't stop there. They awaken, and as time goes by, they discover their change of heart. They discover their desire to boast of. That's why they lost the passion. That's why their passion cooled, and they repent and they try to become a person who does not change, have a change of heart. That's why trials are necessary. Without trials, we wouldn't have been able to discover ourselves. Without knowing ourselves, if we go to heaven, everything will be revealed. And if we just don't circumcise our heart, even though there are rocks, there are hardened soil in our heart field, Even so, if we don't cultivate our heart field, because this is a tough process, this is tougher than any other faithfulness. Putting yourself to death is tougher than doing God's work. Because even if you are bearing fruits in some areas, but when you go to heaven, God does not rejoice only in your fruits that you bear, but you have to also, everything will be revealed, even the areas that you didn't change. Job came to this realization, even though he was thinking about his merits. That's why he couldn't do what God desired him to do. He didn't recognize the roots of evil, and he complained and resented God. But in the face of a trial and hardship, he discovered his true self, and he changed that, fixed that. How thankful he must have been Many people, even today, many people live like the ostrich, knowing only the present and ignoring the afterlife. They speak and act as they please, pursuing knowledge, honor, and wealth for their own gain. But how joyful and thankful we are that we dwell in the Lord, delighting even now in hearing His word and walking on the path of eternal life. By refining Job, God shattered him, made him into a great vessel, and granted him the double the blessing. Likewise, God's leading us to become the kind of people He truly desires. In times of trials and tests, you understand His deep. If you just complain about your reality, you thoroughly repented of that, right? And you shouldn't just repent, and you have to work on the attributes, original attributes. And because you didn't, you have to recognize them, and you have to truly circumcise your heart, truly sanctify yourself. Then even when you face trials and tribulations, things will turn into blessings. So we have to know how blessed we are to face. May we recognize how precious trials are and give thanks to God from the depth of our hearts. The following verses say, "She treats her young cruelly as if they were not hers, though her labor is for nothing. She is unconcerned because God has made her forget wisdom and has not given her a share of understanding." Here, labor refers to the effort and hardship of giving birth to and raising offspring. God said that the ostrich treats her own young as if they were not hers, showing no affection and feels no concern even if all her labor is in vain. Though she has to sit on her legs to keep them, she leaves them behind, abandoned in the sand. God explained that this is because He did not endow the ostrich with wisdom and understanding. God meant to say that He allows such limitations in the ostrich because that is the extent of her worth as an animal. But for us human beings, God has given wisdom and understanding, and so we are able to learn and be taught. Namely, God was asking, "Job, unlike the ostrich, you have wisdom and discernment. Can you not recognize that certain actions lead to certain outcomes?" As Job listened to these words, he came to understand the heart of God, who desires man to live as the Lord of all creation. Unlike animals, we, humans, have been created in the image of God, so God does not want us to be confined by our circumstances, but to harbor great dreams and visions and pursue a creative and progressive life. Namely, God desires us to align our hearts not with our own thoughts, but with His will, set our minds not on worldly things, but on heaven, and live as true citizens of heaven. You know, the ostrich, after they lay their eggs and give birth to offspring, human beings, they cherish their offspring. They so carefully take care of them. This is the wisdom from God and the original instinct. But God didn't give such things, instincts, and to the ostrich. Moreover, and what kind of wisdom are you hoping for heaven? And are you no different from animals, and you just live in sins and complaining, and the result is, and if you live so, you will lose all your rewards and end up in hell. You don't think about what comes next. You only focus on your present. Only focusing on the present, you quarrel, you complain. This is stupidity. This is not. And God was reminding Job of this. What about you? What about your Christian life? You have to examine our own Christian life. As said in the Bible, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Animals live with their eyes fixed on the ground, devoting all their energy to searching for food. But we have to lift our eyes to heaven, seek our Creator, and strive to live according to His will. Are we living so? Through the example of ostrich, Job was learning a lesson. We also have to learn a lesson and become a God-pleasing children. The following passage, chapter 39, verse 18 says, when she rushes forward in flight, she laughs at the horse and its rider. The ostrich is known to be the fastest running bird on earth, capable of reaching speeds up to 7 kilometers per hour on just two legs. It has long legs with strong muscles and can stretch 4 to 5 meters in a single stride. When it leans forward and runs at full speed, it moves like an arrow shot through the air. I saw an ostrich stepping onto the road, so the police was trying to move it to the safe place because the ostrich was running away and the police couldn't do anything. That's why the passage says that when the ostrich runs, she laughs at the horse and its rider, meaning she looks down on them. This shows the arrogance of the ostrich. Through these words, God helped Job realize that if we had scoffed at others without thinking things through, as human beings, we cannot see even a step ahead, nor can we know what is in another's heart. That's why God tells us not to slander, hate, or gossip about others. We must remember that we have no right to look down on, gossip about, and judge and criticize others. One of the Aesop's fables is the story of the tortoise and the hare. The rabbit looked down on the turtle, and she first despised the turtle, but in the end, when the turtle and the rabbit had a race, at first, the rabbit ran so quickly, and the turtle was going so slowly. And because of that arrogance, in the end, the turtle won the race because the rabbit was arrogant. The arrogant is what caused people to face destruction. And even while we don't know other people's heart, how can we judge, pass judgment on others based on other person's words? That means we have because what we know is not everything. We must humbly consider others better than ourselves. Only then can we see rightly, hear rightly, and speak rightly in the truth and become a perfect person whom God desires us to be. Next, God spoke using the example of a horse. Let's first take a look at some footage about horses. Chapter 39, verse 19 reads, do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Brothers and sisters, just imagine a mighty horse charging forward, pounding the ground with the strength. Its solid muscles ripple through its legs and body, and its beautiful mane flows widely in the wet wind. Hot breath bursts from its nostrils, and a wild sense of freedom surges through its entire body. The heavy pounding of its hooves shakes the ground, and the sound grows louder as its speed increases. Its eyes gleam with sharp focus, and it charges forward without a hint of hesitation. The flowing mane mentioned in the verse refers to the long, thick hair on the horse's neck. There is a noticeable difference between a horse with a flowing mane and one without. While a pony's mane may be small and unremarkable, the rich, flowing mane of a powerful and swift horse highlights its majesty and beauty all the more. Job was a wise man. So when God asked him, "Did you give the horses his strength or clothe his neck with a mane?" Job already noticed what God was trying to teach him. As a horse's majesty lies in his strength and mane, Job's strength and honor were seen in his wealth, fame, power, knowledge, and wisdom. Through the example of the horse, God was asking, "Job, who gave you all your knowledge, possessions, honor, and power?" Job felt embarrassed and could give no answer. Before he went through tests and trials before this deep communion with God, Job believed that all he had was gained by his own effort. But after hearing God's questions, he finally realized the wealth, honor, authority, wisdom, and knowledge I had were not the result of my own ability. They were possible because God was with me and had blessed me. Brothers and sisters, we too must come to this spiritual realization. People often fall into the illusion that what they have and enjoy came from their own strength. Having become arrogant, they may even ask, "Where is God?" But it is God who gave us life, and it is also God who created everything we eat, drink, and enjoy on this earth. So, we must acknowledge that everything we have ultimately comes from Him and give thanks. Above all, we should offer deep gratitude to our Father God who granted us grace and salvation at just the right time. You may not, as God's children, when you have honor and wealth, you may confess that everything came from God. Job also made such a confession, but even though you may say you have everything because God's blessing, but on the inside you may boast of yourself, but such arrogance. Let's say you receive some spiritual gift by God's grace, you receive some God-given duties, and you have borne fruit. Everything is by the grace given to you. But some people confess that things came from God, but actually they boast of what they have, and they look down on others, and they despise others without fruit. And this is not humbleness. But when you have the gift, when you have ability, when you have the, if you think that they came from you, you may become arrogant, so you cannot be used, but you will be abandoned. In the next verse, God said, "Do you make him live like a locust?" His master snorting is terrifying. Despite its large frame, the horse lifts lightly like a locust. While it lifts its head and snorts, the sound is so loud, leaving an impression of power and majesty. In television, you have seen a horse making sound with his But God was not praising the horse's actions here. Instead, he was helping Job realize how abandoned, how shameful it was for him to rush forward like a horse, lifting his head in pride and speaking loudly. God was reminding him that Job was always did the same. And in the following verses, we can clearly see that God was revealing how flesh it was for Job to boast in his wealth, honor, and knowledge, rushing forward recklessly like a war horse. Chapter 39, verses 21 and 22 say, he paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out to meet the battle. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. And he does not turn back from the sword. A horse pawing in the valley and rejoicing in his strength describes a horse charging boldly in a battlefield, its hoofs pounding the ground with force. In ancient warfare, horses often play a more crucial role than soldiers in determining the outcome of a battle. Even when facing enemies armed with swords and spears, the war horse does not fear and retreat. Though it does not know when a sword may strike its neck or with an arrow, but this was also not a praise of the horse. Rather, it pointed to the foolishness of charging her head recklessly without discernment. Job had done the same. Though he considered himself wise, but when trials came, he reacted like a war horse blindly rushing ahead in a battlefield. Even while facing the threat of death, Job desperately wanted to beat his friends in the arguments. He said that God was upset, and even insisted that he was more righteous than God. If we had stopped arguing and turned to God, God would have recognized the perspectives and was worthwhile. Even though his own servants mocked him, Job dismissed the words of his friends, criticized them, and stood against God. Isn't this just like a horse charging recklessly in a battlefield? Job believed himself to be strong and wise, but he continued arguing foolishly, not knowing what lay ahead of him. In doing so, he himself prolonged the trials. So, hearing these words, Job must have realized just how foolish his past actions had been. He must have felt ashamed to even face his friends, and far more so before God. What should we learn from these words? True wisdom does not come from human strength or ability. It is found in seeking God's guidance with humility, discerning situations rightly in the truth, and responding accordingly. To do so, we must remain spiritually awake in prayer, receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and above all, choosing the truth. Even if we cannot fully receive the work of the Holy Spirit yet, we will never go wrong if we make our choices based on God's word. God tells us not to judge, not to fight, not to argue, not to show anger. And God tells us to, these are basics. God tells us not to judge and condemn. We have to examine whether we have done so. So we have to have the word as a standard. We have to act accordingly. But in the face of tests and trials, many believers focus only on the reality, complain, show irritation and anger, and do evil. They are like a war horse charging ahead without discernment. In the following passage, chapter 39, verses 23 through 25, God said, "The quiver rattles against him, the flashing spear and javelin. He races over the ground with a roar and fury. And he does not stand still at the voice of the trumpet. As often as the trumpet sounds, he says, 'Aha!' And he sends the battle from afar, and the thunder of the captains and the war cry." This vividly depicts the image of a horse in the midst of a fierce battlefield. On the charging horse, the warrior's quiver rattles, and the spear and the javelin flash in the sunlight. In ancient times, the sound of a trumpet signaled the beginning of a war and the urgency of a battle. It prepared the soldiers to prepare for combat, commanded the attack, and conveyed orders. When a horse hears the sound of a trumpet, it instinctively becomes excited and rushes forward, pawing the ground as if enraged. The phrase, "it neighs softly," describes a horse snorting and breathing heavily in the excitement. With every trumpet blast, the horse snorts, senses the scent of a battle from afar, and hears a clamor of fighting and the commands of officers. On a battlefield, horses charge forward fearlessly, crash into one another, fall, and are struck by spears, swords, and arrows. On the battlefield, not just men, but horses are dead on the battlefield, as we've seen from the movie scenes. Many of them end up dying on the battlefield, left to rot and become prey for vultures. Through this passage, God revealed how tragic the result can be when one recklessly charges forward like a war horse. Job realized that he too had charged ahead blindly like a horse on a battlefield, arguing and disputing, which had led to his current suffering. What was Job's present condition? His body was covered in painful boils and burst and scabbed over and over again, oozing blood and pus. He was reduced to nothing but skin and bones. Even as his body ached from head to toe, Job did not stop like a charging horse, but kept arguing and disputing. He insisted on his worthless pride, continued to assert his own righteousness. In the end, Job became utterly worn out, both in body and the spirit. Therefore, we must recognize the foolish consequences that follow quarrels, resentment, pride, arrogance, and greed. Especially in your family, a quarrel between a husband and a wife, difference of opinion, as it gets intense, they even criticize the spouse's family members, and they at first and they even talk about divorce or separation without hesitation. Think about that. If there are still fights among husband and wife, they are like a horse in a battlefield, charging ahead blindly. You have to examine yourself in terms of that. You also complaining about the things that you don't understand. I mean, sometimes you, but if you, so let there be no wall of sin remaining in you. Even when another person points fingers and raises their voice in argument, if we have a generous and thick vessel, we wouldn't get even with them but respond with a smile. So who is the winner then? By remaining calm and composed and not showing emotions, we are the winner. Because we've acted according to the truth, we'd be filled with the Spirit, joy, and thanksgiving. The truth tells us that the one who yields is the winner. Therefore, let us not behave foolishly like war horses, but as children of light, the children of God, and as citizens of heaven, may we become wise believers who overcome evil with good. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters, today we have reflected on the lesson God gave to Job, focusing on the examples of the ostrich and the horse. The ostrich, lacking wisdom and understanding, leaves its eggs on the ground and unaware that they may be trampled and destroyed. But to us, God has given wisdom and discernment so that we can prepare for what lies ahead. The war horse charges forward recklessly, unaware of the danger right before it, and ends up falling pierced by swords or spears. But through the scriptures, God has presented the vessel and more God has presented the wisest and most blessed path. So, by obeying His word, we can walk the path that God desires for us. If God tells us to go east, then we go east. If He tells us to go west, then we go west. To such obedient children, our Father God has promised that whether we come in or go out, we'll be blessed. We'll be the head and not the tail. And just as our soul prospers, all things in our lives will prosper as well. Even though God has clearly shown us the path of blessing, it is through our disobedience that we fall into suffering and hardships. I pray in our Lord's name that you will reflect on whether you have lacked wisdom like the ostrich or acted foolishly like the war horse. Return to the path of full obedience and enjoy true peace and blessings.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning, make their dead nerves and cells regenerate, make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.